Welcome to Shelby Confessions, a mix of inspiration and understanding to help you cherish the day. Hey, you guys. Today I want to talk about control. I feel a lot of times, you know, in leadership role, we forget. Before we become a leader, you have to be a follower first. You have to go through the full processes to understand what it takes to be a leader or even a boss. And I can honestly say I have a hard time allowing anybody else to take control. I will have anxiety if I feel like I am not in control of a situation. And then I also will just flip out if I knew, if I was in control, that this wouldn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, those things. And I realized in meditation, it was this perfect example of steadying your breathing. You know, knowing that you have control over your life has been one of my main themes of healing. Which I always tell you, you know, it's important to be aware of yourself and conscious of yourself. But one thing I failed to realize, honestly, that especially when you're trying to work with other people, you know, either it's a business or a relationship, is that you have to understand what you should try to control and what you should try to follow. And that's difficult. Especially being a woman, I feel like, you know, nobody really listens to the prime example of, you know, I know what I'm doing. Like, you know, I know where this is headed. I know that I am in control of things. And nobody wants to listen to a woman, which is so crazy because, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could have the same education background and experience for my counterpart, but because he's a man, he will be acknowledged more. And working in the pharmacy, one of the supervisors, he was honest with me. He said, when you're on the phone, you know, and it's a woman, people might think you're being hostile when you're just stating facts, he said, but I'll get on the phone and say the exact same thing that you're saying, and they'll respond in a more positive light when I say it than how you say it. And he said, as crazy as that may sound and as, you know, irritating as that may be, that's the world we live in. And when he said that to me, you know, I was like hurt. I was like, so, you know, it's a sexist and androgynous thing and, you know, it's bull crap and da da da. But I realized that's the truth. That is the world that we live in, unfortunately. It sucks to be a woman, but it also sucks to be a black woman. How double standards we have to be. It's like when you're a black woman, you are black times five. It's magnified. And I'm not trying to make this a race thing, but I feel like it's the truth. In any race, I feel as though women are downplayed or... And not even downplayed, but we go through so much. And the reason why we go through so much is that we don't learn faster than men. That's a lie. I think what it is that we get reprimanded more than men, to where we have no choice but to catch on to that lesson quicker. That we have no choice to have an emotion, to feel vulnerable, because I feel as though when you're a strong woman, there is no space for vulnerability. And I mean, if you're a man and you listen to this, I'm sorry, but it's true. The conscious state is how we speak to each other and how others speak to us, how we carry ourselves and anything, you know what I'm saying? We're supposed to be a vulnerable butterfly. And then as soon as we grasp the strength and the courage to be independent, then that vulnerability, that butterfly, is no longer in existence in that statement for that woman. Like, I am not supposed to be vulnerable, and you know, it's very rare when I cry. So when I cry, my friends are like, oh crap, what's going on? Because I am not supposed to have that emotion. I'm not supposed to show that, because my strength is supposed to overpower that vulnerability. But once, I don't care what gender this is, man, woman, child, the more you carry on the load of trying to be strong for so long, it will wear and tear on your soul. Honestly, if you don't express yourself or break down eventually, then you're carrying baggage of load that at any moment will crack. And that's when the mental breakdown happens, honestly, is because you've been holding in so much, trying to be strong. And then eating, it could be like something simple, like, you know, you cracked a nail. As soon as you crack that nail, you will break completely down, because all the things that you were hovering and caring over and not allowing to express aloud and be vulnerable, it will explode. Like a balloon, you could fill it up as much as you can with water, but eventually it will burst. And that's a hard load to carry. Very hard load to carry. And so what I think with control, we always want to be in control of the situation so that we as humans can verify or, you know, subdue the fact that if it turns out great, then we get credit for it. That's what I think what control is. I think that for me personally, for me personally, I feel as though I want to be in control because I want to know the process so I can continue the good. Or even if it's an ugly outcome, I want to be able to be in control because I know the steps that I should not take. When you put control in someone else's hand over your life or decisions, you have no steering wheel. You're just a passenger and you're on along for a ride, which is scary because this person can mess up and you can crash. And so the fear for me for control is that if I'm driving and I crash, I understood why I crashed. But for someone else to take that control over me and empower me and crash, I don't know how they got us to this point. I don't know how or what I could have done to refrain this from happening, because I am not them. And that's the scary part. And I feel as though people with control issues, that is the main thing. It's not, oh, I have to be lead. No, it's actually having the blueprint on how it was successful and how it was not. If it was successful, then we know the processes to continue a repetitiveness of continuing this success. But if we have no control, that what if, I think it's the what if that drives somebody with control issues crazy. I know it does for me. And in dating aspects, I've learned that, you know, at a place, my mom has always, she fusses at me a lot. And she's like, you're trying to be in a relationship with somebody and play a partner with another person that is also as strong as you. And you hinder them so much to where either they don't feel like they have to be strong anymore, or you hinder them so they push away because you don't allow them to control, because you have to be in control. And I never really realized that until I will have bad anxiety, I'm not gonna lie to you, if I'm not in control of the situation. And she said, you know, you have to find out why you do that, because you're pushing good people away. You're pushing good things in your life that's supposed to come to you away because you're not in control. And I realized that that's what it is that I no longer sketch out that blueprint. I no longer can I no longer have the ability to see my future. And that's crazy because you're like, you know, it's the future. No one can see the future. Not necessarily. Because if you're a planner or you're a very determined person, you sketch and plan out your life. You sketch out how it should turn out. But the crazy thing is, for me, I sketch out if it turns out well, awesome, and then I sketch out how it turns badly for me. So I prepare myself mentally. I know you're like, girl, this girl crazy, but no, it's just a way I cope with things. I have a wild imagination. So I sketch out how this relationship is gonna end good or how it's gonna be bad. Like, you know, if you were to ask me about my exes, how it ended, I was never surprised. Crazy, but I was never surprised because I prepared myself for the worst. And I sketched out in my mind how it's gonna be. Like my ex, one of my exes leaving me or whatever for their previous girlfriend. I knew it because I had envisioned how it would turn out. The only thing that outraged me or upset me was that I had, before I got to that point, I tried to prevent, not prevent it, but say, hey, I know this is you. If you want to go to it, do it. Go ahead. Like, it's okay. Before it got to the point of how it escalated. You know what I'm saying? How badly it was. I feel like I was trying to prevent it from getting 10 times worse than what it should have been. But I was prepared for it. I was mentally prepared for it. Even though I was pushing for the good to happen. And like I said, this is crazy how my mind works. But I learned to be that way because I had such high expectations for people. And I see their potential and everything. And so when their potential never surfaced, even after my existence with them, I started to feel really down about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not helping them. They're not coming out to be a good person, blah, blah. I'm just saying all these crazy things, basically, you know, of being hurt that they ended up being what I thought they would be. You know what I'm saying? So when that happened to me, that's control, you know, me not controlling the situation and it being exactly what I wanted to prevent, it would hurt me. And I realized I was just hurting myself, you know? I was just hurting myself and not allowing things to happen the way it's supposed to happen. Nobody has the blueprint. We could have plans, notes, a clipboard, poster board of how we want our lives to go. But if you don't put forth the work and the effort, and then when you include other people, you can't control life. You can't control anything. You can't control your finances. You know what I'm saying? Just live every moment day by day. But I didn't realize that at the time. And so I was hurting and inflicting pain upon myself for no reason. And then the pain, because I was such a strong person, a strong woman, a strong individual, I would, you know, stuff that in a safe inside of me, and it was eating me alive. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that was me self-destructing myself. And so when I started to really evaluate after losing everything or even gaining everything, I was unfulfilled because that little monster that I had created within me because of my control issues was just eating me alive. You know what I'm saying? And we do that a lot. We do that so, so, so much. To where we have to be controlled, so we have control of our own pain. Like, it's crazy how we have control over even the happy moments and the pain instead of allowing it to be what it is. And that's pain, that's heartache, that's, you know, disappointment. All those things are all a part of life. And instead of converting that into a lesson, I was just sitting uncontrolled pain. I wasn't allowing it to do what it needed to do, and that was for it to empower me to understand that things happened that wasn't the direction I was supposed to go, and my life was meant for something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, we try to control every waking moment of our lives, and we have to realize that we're not living if we're controlling it. I'm not saying just do things willy-nilly crazy. There's a time and a place to have control over your life and take full responsibility of all your actions, yes. But then there's a time when you cannot be a driver in the car and you're just a passenger, and you can't conflict pain on yourself or worry or just be angry because you're not the driver. You have to allow that person to drive. And while they're driving, you should be reflecting on yourself and the decisions you make and let it lead you, because you'd be surprised that when you let somebody drive, You know, if you always think the worst, that person may be believing in you and driving you towards success. But the fact that you have to be so much in control, you don't even allow them to take you there. Or with love, there could be a person that just wants you to sit back, relax, and just be you. And you're so much trying to control them into them allowing you to be you that you don't even allow them to be themselves. So your controlling aspect is conflicting this love, this energy, and pushing that person away to where they don't even want to drive anymore. They want to, you know, open the door and tuck and roll and let the car drive itself because you're driving them nuts. Like, love is a two-way street. And one thing I've learned is that it's something I can't control. I just have to live in the moment of my partner. I have to live in the moment of my happiness. And when it's difficult, we must talk and communicate, but knowing that it's out of my hands how he responds, how I respond. I have to continue to be myself, and whatever happens, happens. Like, I can't control someone else's emotions or actions. I can only control mine. I can only make sure that I'm doing the best of my ability. And then, you know what, too? As crazy as that, we'll stay with people that we can control or that we can't control, and all they're doing is causing heartache and pain, and we're deciding to stay in the passenger seat and be silent and not have control over our lives. Like, we mess up, yes. Nothing is perfect. But you have to know when to be a driver and when to be a passenger. When to let life take control and lead you into, you know, mistakes or lessons or even happiness. And knowing when to take back our lives when we no longer can see the light. There's a dynamic with knowing. I'm not saying lose all control and go willy-nilly. No, I'm saying to understand the process of when to take hold of your life and when to allow your life to build you up and bring you to your destiny. That's all I'm saying. It's finding the dynamic of when to allow someone else to drive the seat. And then also knowing when you've had enough being a passenger and to drive your own destiny. That's it. That's what you gotta do.
In conclusion, I just want to tell you guys to promise to cherish the day. And it's your girl Shelby Henny signing off. Have a good one, y'all.